Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Friday morning, and that means it is time to check in with Pastor Wirth for Creation Club. Good morning, Pastor Wirth.
Good morning, Andy.
How are you this week?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
Good. I missed talking with you last week on our Creation Club creation topics. I pray you had a good Thanksgiving with some loved ones.
Wonderful. All my brothers were together and all our family, so I had all my kids and all my grandkids and my brothers and their families. It was wonderful.
Well, very good. Glad to hear that. Well, now, speaking of gatherings, there is a gathering coming up very soon, coming up next Monday. Is that correct?
That's true. The monthly meeting of the Missouri Association for Creation will be this coming Monday. That would be December 8th at Concordia Lutheran Church in Maplewood, Missouri. The address is 7291 Sarah Street in Maplewood, Missouri. And at 6:30, they're going to have an early bird presentation, The Biggest Challenges to Evolution. And then their special speaker at 7:30 is Brian Mariani of the Alpha Omega Institute. And what he'll be talking about will be five common deceptions in our culture regarding God, the Bible, science, and creation. So the deceptions would be the Bible is not completely reliable. Evolution is proven science. Creation is religious belief. Science has proven evolution in an old earth. The definition of science cannot allow for God. And evolution and the Bible are compatible. So those five incorrect statements, those deceiving statements that are very common in our culture, he will be challenging and giving answers to that. So we encourage those who are in the St. Louis area, close enough to come to Maplewood, Monday, December 8th, 6:30 p.m., an early bird presentation, 7:30 p.m., the main speaker, Brian Mariani of the Alpha Omega Institute, and you can find out the answers to those common deceptions and how to respond to them. Also, if you're not in the St. Louis area, you can still check some of these things out. The early bird presentation is available at www.discovercreation.org. That's www.discovercreation.org. And you can also check out more about Brian at the Alpha Omega Institute. You could Google that and find out more about him and what they do there.
Those are good. Man, all five of those common misconceptions or deceptions about creation, man, those are good. I mean, I certainly for anybody, but I'm thinking high school students and college students, these are some of the things that that you hear, I'm sure, all the time in academia as a high school student or as a college student.
Absolutely. And so this is a good way to equip them. And so we thank God that there are a lot of people going around and speaking on these topics and trying to help people be aware of the truth of God's Word versus the lie of the evolutionary fairy tale, which is what we do here on Friday, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. To confront these misconceptions, these lies, with truth.
Absolutely. God's truth from God's own Word.
Now, let's go back about 500,000 years, shall we?
Are you wanting to check out the Science Daily?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. If you were checking on in the news recently, just this past week, Science Daily talked about the finding of the oldest ever engraving, which they consider to be a 500,000-year-old shell. So what they found was apparently a mussel shell that they used two of their so-called naturalistic dating methods. Researchers at the University of Amsterdam in Wageningen, that's a mouthful, University, and they determined that the shell is at least 430,000 years old, maybe as much as 540,000 years old, and that would make it four times older than the previously oldest known engravings that were found in Africa. And they believe that these engravings were made by a critter that they call Homo erectus. Well, obviously, the scientists don't want to believe that man has always been man from the day that God created him. They want to believe in this progressive evolution over millions and billions of years, so that you're from a common ancestor with the modern apes, and then so you were more ape-like before and became more and more human until you finally have Homo sapiens, what we have today. So when they find fossil remains of humans in the past, they give them different names sometimes scientifically to try to say, well, they weren't fully human yet. And so you take an ape and try to make him seem more human-like, and you take a man and try to make him seem more ape-like. But here's another example, just like with Neanderthal. Mm. You know, Neanderthals were all, back when I was in high school, were pictured as very ape-like. And today, scientists have had to, you know, they won't admit it, but they had to eat crow on this, because now it's really clear that Neanderthal is like modern man, and he made tools, and he had clothes, and he buried his dead, and he made musical instruments, and he did this, and he did that. Well, they still won't concede that he's Homo sapiens. They'll call him Homo Neanderthalis. And here, this case too, you got Homo erectus. They won't call him a Homo sapiens, even though obviously you're dealing with humans, because they're making tools, they're making art here. Nobody really knows for sure why this there's engraving on the shell, but why do we engrave shells? Why do we make jewelry and things like this? Mm. You know, they drilled holes, and they showed with these collected mussels, meaning the shellfish, mm-hmm. They had these freshwater mussels, and they were very ingenious and how they opened them. They drilled a hole through the shell using a sharp object, possibly a shark's tooth, exactly at the right point where the mussel is attached, and that keeps the shell closed. The precision with which these early humans worked indicates great dexterity and detailed knowledge of mollusk anatomy, one of the researchers said. So think about this. You know, so we don't believe the dates, millions and billions of years and all this kind of stuff. Their dating methods are messed up, and we can explain about that. If you have questions about dating methods, go to answersingenesis.org and, you know, put in the search field, type in dating methods or radiometric dating or something like this, and there's all kinds of articles that explain why we don't believe in those old ages, because they don't really hold up. But the point here is, here we have yet another example where evolution-believing scientists have to admit, oh, what do you know, that there's these people, you know, or ancestors to modern humans were already doing things we didn't think that they could do way longer before we thought they could ever do it. And so in this case, both the use of the tools and the precision and dexterity and the detailed knowledge of mollusk anatomy, okay? So these people weren't brutes. They weren't stupid. You see, whereas in the evolutionary fairy tale, they try to make the ancient peoples and what they would call the precursors, the ancestors of humans, to being ape-like brutes that were stupid and couldn't do anything. Instead, the farther back they go, the more, well, what do you know? They had tools. Oh, what do you know? They knew about this. Oh, what do you know? They could do that. They made art. They buried their dead. They made musical instruments. Oh, they cooked their food. They were ingenious in how they hunted. You know, yeah. And so, you know, we would reject their dating methods. We would reject their evolutionary fairy tale. But it's exciting that here's another piece of evidence of something very old. And, you know, it doesn't have to be millions of years old or even hundreds of thousands of years old to be old. In ancient times, human beings were doing things like making art and showing knowledge that is surprising to people today who, if they would just believe God's word, wouldn't be quite as surprised. Because already in the book of Genesis, it talks about people hunting and making tools and even working with brass and making musical instruments and so forth. So that fits in with what the Bible says, but it should be an embarrassment if they would acknowledge it as mm-hmm. such. It should be an embarrassment to the people who believe in evolution, but then they are hard to embarrass sometimes because they'll never admit they're wrong.
Mm. Well, let's talk about, I know there are some resources that you wanted to share with us as well today from Answers in Genesis that help us respond to positions and questions like this.
Absolutely. And I would encourage our readers to check this out at the Answers in Genesis website. That's answersingenesis.org. Right now they have on their homepage a chapter 30 from their Answers book number 3. They have a whole series of books. I think there's 4 in the series right now. They're called the Answers books, and they have all kinds of frequently asked questions about the creation versus evolution debate and give very good answers. They're detailed, but they're also at a level where common people like us can understand it and grasp it. So even if you don't have the scientific degrees, people with the scientific degrees are writing these articles at a layman's level so you can understand them. So again, it's helpful for high school students, college students, parents, grandparents, pastors, parochial school teachers, to have a handle on what some of these things are talking about. And in this chapter 30, it's entitled, What Are Some Good Questions to Ask an Evolutionist? And so they point out that the scriptures tell us to make a good defense of our faith. It says, you know, that we should give a defense to those who ask us a reason for the hope that we have and do it with gentleness and respect. But also we have in God's Word the idea that we should bring down the strongholds and anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And so we both have a reason to have an offensive plan, not to offend people, but, you know, in the sense of like in a sports game or in right. war, both offense and defense. And so this article talks about how to do both. And it mentions that, you know, when you're talking about what's a good defense for Christians, well, that's when people are asking you questions like, how do you fit dinosaurs into the Bible? Or where did Cain get his wife? Or how could Adam name all the animals in one day? Or what about carbon-14 dating? Does God really exist? Couldn't God have used evolution when he was creating? You know, questions like that are things that we get asked, and the good people at Answers in Genesis have all kinds of answers, can answer every one of those questions. So if you ever have a question like that, go to the Answers in Genesis website or buy these books, and you'll have those answers. But this particular article also goes on to talk about how we can go on the offensive. Again, not by being offensive ourselves in the way we handle it. We need to be diplomatic in how we handle it. But there are questions in which we take the question to the other side and ask them questions and put them on the defensive, so they have to answer the questions. And they have four different kinds of questions that they're asking here. There's clarification questions. There's foundation questions, there's worldview questions, and textbook questions. And in the article, which we don't have time to completely read through here today, they explain each kind. But let me just give a couple of examples. So with clarification questions, they're making sure we don't talk past one another. So if you use the word evolution, let's define it so that we're not misquoting one another, because evolution as molecules to man evolution is one thing. If all you mean is change within a kind, we don't disagree with that. You know, already you can say, yeah, there's variation within a kind, whether it's animals or finches or whatever. That's not a big deal. Nobody disagrees with that, and that doesn't contradict the Bible. But when you're talking about life arising from non-life and simple forms of life spontaneously upgrading their information and their DNA to become more complex, there's no evidence for that. It's neither biblical nor scientific. Or what do you mean by the word theory? Or what do you even mean by the word fact? So we can kind of not talk past one another. Then the other kind of questions, foundation questions, get at the foundation of the unbeliever's evidence. In other words, what is the ultimate cause of the universe? How did life originate? Where did the dinosaurs come from? Where are all the millions of transitional fossils that we should find, but they're not there, in the Precambrian and Cambrian layers? And it goes on and on like this. So they've got a number of good questions and help you to know the answer and to know how to ask that question in the right way and not to be satisfied with a phony answer from the evolutionist that doesn't really answer the question. Likewise, textbook questions. And these are questions used to help students in the classroom critically think through information in a textbook or further explore statements that are made by a teacher. For example, while some molecules do combine to form larger structures such as amino acids, it has been shown that this always results in a mixture of left and right-handed amino acids that is not used in life. Since this is true, is there some other explanation for how the molecules useful for life might have formed? Or how about this? Water breaks down the bonds between amino acids, a process called hydrolysis. Mm-hmm. So how could life have started in the oceans? They have a number of good questions like that to make you think through these issues and help students examine what's in their textbook. And finally, the worldview questions that deal with where did the laws of nature come from?
Yeah.
And what about logic? So all of these are intended to get people to think critically and bring us back to the truth of God's Word, that God is our Creator and our Redeemer, and we celebrate that every season of the year.
Amen. Pastor Wirth, we'll talk again next week. God's blessings.
And to you.
Coming up in just a little bit, morning prayer on Worldwide KFUO.